Thank you, Hannah, for reading. Morning, everyone. I just want to pray and ask the Lord for assistance for all of us to hear and what he may want to share in the very simple vessels that we are. Lord, thank you for, Lord, the delight it's been this morning to hear such varied contributions. Lord, it's a real feast, Lord, to be in the family of God. Lord, thank you for that time that we ate together. Lord, we waited for one another, and we ate together. There's something of the Saviour in that, that you are very long-suffering towards your people, and you wait for us, Lord. You have a patience that goes beyond our own patience, and for that we are this morning very, very thankful. Every heart in this room, Lord, we say thank you for waiting for us. Lord, you're very slow, Lord, to bring your anger upon us, Lord. But we come this morning and say thank you for the cross. And Lord, thank you for your name. Something that's just been in my heart the last week or so. Oh, the power in your name. Precious Lord. Lord, just have our hearts open this morning and our ears. Precious Lord. Amen. Amen. A few weeks ago, it was on a Tuesday evening. It was the Bible course, and we split into groups and we were talking, and it was just in the little theme of Moses and what he was up to. And on our table, we just had a lovely sweet time of just talking and encouraging one another. It's brilliant around small groups, isn't it? I think your hearts can become open and you can not be so frightened when you're up here looking out into many faces. And something came up, a little testimony, and it was just regarding just our youngest daughter and something that happened in school. And it was just, this is the scenario. And since it, I've been stopped in my tracks. And if that happens, I believe the Lord is just saying, he's just poking, saying, you get some flesh on the bones on that, son. Yeah, you go for it. And it was just this testimony that in her school, she had been kind of pressurized by her friends to say the words, "Oh my God." And I actually cringe at you even saying it. And it was on a consistent basis. They were trying to get her to say, in a derogatory way, "Oh my God." And she relented. She didn't say it. Sorry, got that wrong. She didn't say it. These are the pressures that come into our everyday lives and living. And from a young heart, and I believe that when she didn't say that, her faith was being exercised. In what? In the name. Jesus Christ. And it really stopped me, and I think I was in the group and I may have gone a bit quiet. But Mark, you were there. And someone made a comment in that little group, and it's dear Linda Hughes, and I don't think she's here, she's unwell, we're praying for you, Linda. But Linda said, well, about Emily, she said, she knows the value of his name. And that sentence just stopped me in my tracks, and I didn't go all mushy and melt like some people would accuse me of doing. It wasn't. It was, oh, faith stirred up. Mixed in, faith in his name. And then the more I thought about it, I thought there's more than just having faith in his name. It's actually the person of Jesus Christ. Just off the top of my head, I'm thinking of the sons of Sceva in Acts. You know, the guys that tried to exorcise the evil spirits out of certain people, they tried to use the name, didn't they? They tried to kind of almost swindle and say, what happened to them? Well, they got pretty much knocked up, didn't they? They were beaten up. They left naked. They were bruised. Tails between the legs. it didn't work, because they didn't have the faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's really struck me, from a young age, we can, sometimes by saying no to something, exercise faith. Wonderful. And it really just got me going and thinking more and more. So if you have a Bible, just go with me into Exodus chapter 3. I just want to speak about a character, Moses, before going into the reading. And this is a place that really God reveals his name. Exodus chapter 3. I'll just drop in there very quickly. This is Moses who, he was in the back end of a desert. He was in a place of, in some ways, a wilderness. He wasn't with his people. He was working and tending his father-in-law's sheep. I mean, he was in a bit of a low place, in a desert, probably a little bit grumpy, probably thinking, what is going on with my life? Lord, do you have a plan for me? I'm in a wilderness here. I don't know if you've ever been in that place. Well, something amazing happens to Moses. And let's just read it here, chapter 3. He approaches the bush. Verse 4, so when the Lord saw and turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals, off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And then it goes on, verse 12. So he said, I certainly will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Now if someone came to you and asked for your name and you said, I am who I am, what do you think their actual response would be? I may be saying, well, that's a little bit rude. I mean, can you say a little bit more? It's Mr. Jones, or it's Mark, or it's, you know. But there's something about that name which is intimate. The great I am is the first time that God comes to his people and reveals an intimacy. Beyond the Mr. Jones, beyond the surname, something much, much more. And he says, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, those you say shall to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Imagine the actual huge generations that God is saying there. He goes through all the generations. He is the God of all generations. Amazing. He says this, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. This morning you can know the wonderful, amazing name, Jesus Christ. There's much more in just saying it. It's this connection of faith in our lives that actually connects and has the Lord Jesus living in our lives. I find that absolutely amazing. And from a young age, from a young girl of 10 years old, she can say, no, I'm not going to say that name. I'm not going to be tempted into denying what that name means to me in my life. You may find that in your workplace. I've had it on a few occasions. And I will not bow to bringing the Lord's name into vain. It's wonderful, it's powerful. Isaiah describes him, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting one. There's so many descriptions of the name. Precious Lord. Moses then, in some ways, he was in a place where he was absolutely humbled. And when he was humbled, he then got instructions. And that really spoke to me. If you're in a place that you feel you're in a wilderness, it's actually in that place the Lord can bring his instruction to you to move on further. Go a step in a different direction. Moses in the back end of a desert, looking after his father-in-law's sheep. And in that place, God just showed himself in that burning bush and revealed his personal, intimate name. Have you encountered the wonderful, intimate name of the Lord Jesus? If you're someone like me who's been privileged to grow up in a Christian family, sometimes that name can become a little bit numb. It can almost sometimes lose its power in your life. I've heard sermons after sermons being taken to conferences and conferences. But there was that one time when that name was spoken by this man in a very simple way where it hit straight into my heart. Have you had that encounter? The Lord this morning can do it. He can reveal his name to you and the power of it. Wonderful thing. There is hope for us. Precious Lord. Let's just go on back into Acts. I was looking at the two different themes and I get sidetracked in my reading. I have to say, Lord, would you just, Lord, keep me in check here. My mind and heart go off in different themes, and I was thinking of the theme of fire at the burning bush, the importance of fire and what that signifies in Scripture, the Holy Spirit and its work. There was the fire in the bush, wasn't it? And then in Acts, there was the fire that was actually on those people in the upper room. And I tried to think, well, that's a significant thing of the fire. You need the Holy Spirit and you need the Lord Jesus to maintain the fire. Not through our works and our deeds, but he maintains the fire. He was the one that maintained the fire in the burning bush. He was the one that brought the fire to those in the upper room in Acts. He maintains the fire, and so we need that in our daily lives. Let's not go down that route. Let's stick to what is in. So we're in Acts. Peter and John, and in some ways I don't want to concentrate too much this morning on that amazing miracle of the lame man, which actually was written about in Isaiah. If you can read it, this is what's so incredible about Scripture. In Isaiah 35 verse 6, I was reading, you don't need to turn there, let me just read out. In Isaiah 35 it says, then the lame shall leap like a deer. Isn't that amazing? We're reading it in Acts, but in Isaiah they'd said about it before, generations before. Amazing. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Incredible. Now let's go back to Acts. We're at the preaching in Solomon's portico, porch at the beautiful gate. I don't know about you, but as I read through this incredible miracle, something really just spoke to me. I mean, it was about that the man was healed and Peter and John helped him up and the strength returned to his ankle joints. And then after he did that, he then did a little bit of a skip around. Now, if I did that this morning, I'd put my back out again. But there was a real element of a deer just skipping around with joy that the Lord had touched him. But in actual fact, it was about the faith of Paul, of John and Peter, of them reaching out that this man was healed. Like the little girl that denied and didn't want to take the Lord's name in vain, there was a little bit of faith that was exercised. Well, John and Peter, they exercised their faith in the wonderful name. And then from that, this man did the deer thing and started skipping around. Do you ever feel like doing that? You don't need to answer that. But I think when I was younger we used to sing the chorus, silver and gold have I none. And I'm sure there used to be some kind of action in that. And a little bit of, you know, maybe we get a bit too serious, I do, I'm sure, but oh, there's something about when the Lord breaks into your life, it makes you skip. It puts something on our stride, and sometimes when you've known the Lord Jesus for many years, he can still come and put a spring in our step. So all the people ran together in verse 11. All the people ran together to them at the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And I think everyone would have been greatly amazed. Someone from birth had been just put there, laid there. Amazing that the actual Peter and John actually had to physically do something as well. And that was to help him up. Now what really just grabbed me on this was that it says this. Now as in verse 11, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. There was something about, he'd done his little lap of skipping around. He'd gone out amongst them, and he kind of then, everyone was looking in and said, what's happened? This guy, he's been there for all his life, and now he's doing this little 18 meter run around that he's jumping up and down, he's praising God. And what really grabbed me was that he, after that, could have disappeared. I thought, well, man, I'm glad that's over. I can now go and do... He didn't. He went back and he held on to Peter and John. I thought there was something wonderful in that. Still wanted to be with them. There was something about the relationship of Peter and John with the Lord Jesus that man saw and wanted more. He just held on to them. Wonderful. Do we do that to the Lord Jesus? Just in the last week or so, and I've been flat out on the back, thank you for those that have prayed. Back is just, it just makes you immobile, doesn't it? But in some ways it does make you, well, it forces you to have time when you're flat on your back and just thinking, Lord, just throw yourself on him. It's good to hold on to him. Sorry, I've not gone to any of my notes. You know, we can think of many objections and we can disqualify ourselves in coming to know the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. You know, Moses did. He came out with about 3 or 4. Like, who am I? That's the first one. We often disqualify ourselves and we pretty much think we're rubbish before we start. Who am I that I can tell this people who you are, you know? Well, I think the Lord comes graciously into a life and he doesn't puff us up into anything, but he does come and he just brings us to a place of assurance in him that he loves us and wants to do something with us. That's incredible. And it doesn't matter what age we are, and you may have heard this over so many different years, and you may all be, but it's still the same today. His love is after those people. And if you're this morning, you've not ever really considered the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, whether you're listening on Zoom or in the meeting, can I just say, we sang that song earlier on, and some of the words were a bit waving, sorry about that, but there's a little line in it said that we'd never told us, if no one had ever told us about his name. And that's the little line that really spoke to me. Lord, this morning I'm so thankful that someone ever told me about your name. Are you thankful this morning? It was a loud Liverpudlian Scouse accent was the name, was the man that I heard, Keith Kelly. And man, he did not need one of these. I think he was speaking in Liverpool, I heard it in the Wirral. And it just went out there. And it was just the name. And then in the mix was this simple little bit of faith that rose and said, I want that name. And when I say I want that name, it means I want to know the person of Jesus Christ. Where people go off in the wrong sense is if you think there's just power in the name and you don't have a relationship with him. Check the sons of Sceva in Acts 19. Okay, that I said about earlier on, you'll end up becoming a little bit broken. But he wants faith to be exercised, that we have a relationship with him. Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you that someone ever told me of the name. That name. Precious Lord. Let me just read these verses out here. There's so many that you can go to, but this is very powerful. This is, you don't need to turn there. It says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God the Father. How amazing is that? Now that, in some ways, when I was reading that verse, there is something about how do we approach him in his name. Now Moses was told to remove his sandals because he's on holy ground. Here it says about this bowing down. Every knee should bow. Now, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand that that's the complete opposite language to what the world says to you now. The Lord says approach with a stooping down. And when we say the word worship, worship is a significant thing of a stooping down. It's this body language that I come lowly before the King. Now the world will actually try and push you and elevate you to come with your chest out, with a loud voice, with your own name on your forehead, with an image, with a face, with a profile. That's all they want. But this verse says, no, firstly, come as you are. Don't disqualify yourself like Moses was trying to do. I think he actually said in another place that, what, me, I am not eloquent of speech. Some people actually say he may have had some kind of speech impediment. So what did he do? Well, he tried to get Aaron, his brother, to try and do the talking part. God says, come as you are. All of your frailties. All of your pride. Lay it aside. Isn't he wonderful? That name, it's been in my heart just whilst I've been at work, and I was sharing in one of the little groups on a Tuesday night that we have at work. We have these things called Alexas, which you would know about. People know about Alexas, these little music stations where you play music off the radio. We have them in the different rooms at work, and the other day I went round, and you can talk to the Alexas and tell them to play different kinds of music. So I went into the different rooms. I said, can you play some Christian worship music? So anyway, one room. So I went in the other room and I said, can you play some Christian worship music, please? And I'm a little bit like that at work, and they do understand what I'm like. But there's something about it that I wanted his name to be in there. His name is often used like mud. And it's amazing how many people use his name that it flows off their tongue in a derogatory sense that's almost inbuilt and birthed in people. I believe there used to be more of a fear of his name. Precious Lord Jesus, there used to be a general fear in this nation. And we, our hearts are praying that there would be that wonderful fear, healthy fear of the Lord Jesus again. Like our dear sister said from Ukraine, and it's wonderful to be here. We have a great nation. We have a great heritage here, and we want the Lord again to bring that fire to this place. Just to ignite in our hearts like a holy reverence of Him. His name is trashed in the media, in so many different things, now even in education. I just this morning want to say it's a wonderful name. It's life, isn't it, brother? It's life. Life to those who call upon it. Those maybe are thinking about baptism. It's in His name. And the only reason is that I was thinking about the Lord Jesus, that when He became fully perfect in human form, He went through the things that we went through. I thought about He was thirsty, and He was met at the well and had a drink. Wasn't He? He was tempted in the wilderness, and He was hungry. Went through the things of hunger. You know, He wept, didn't He, when Lazarus had passed away, or so-called passed away. He wept. He went through the things that we went through and we go through now. And in it all, He stayed perfect. He was the perfect one. Oh, that name. Jesus said to him, this is another thing in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Let me just read this. I have another verse. Hopefully I'll be able to find it. Please just bear with me. It's in 1 John. I should have written it down. There we are. Verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in Him, believe in His name, the Son of God. You know, there's that sense of continuing, isn't there? I sometimes think it's easier to begin, but sometimes it's harder to maintain things. You may disagree, but I remember in some ways when I first asked the Lord into my life, it's often sometimes quite, it's a bit easier that you bring in, there's emotion there, there's an experience that sometimes you're looking for. And it's very much like, oh, I was like the guy leaping like in the crowd, leaping and like a deer. You know, I was in the meeting and it was very much kind of like, this is incredible. This is. After that, it's still there, but there's something that the Lord brings in, that fire that, and someone said to me, so what is the fire when they said about the Holy Spirit and fire? The fire to me is this thing that it burns up the dross of sin. I'm convinced that as you continue in the Lord Jesus Christ, something of the work of the Holy Spirit burns up that dross of sin in our lives. That you and I may continue to believe in His name, the Son of God. Wonderful. You know that there was a name that, and I may have said it up here before, and in some ways, bear with me, but it was just an illustration of it when we were on holiday in France. We went over in our little yellow mini metro. There's four of us and packed into a tiny little car and a tent, 1,500 miles when we were young. And then we were on the beach there. Waves were crashing in, very strong currents, and the two German girls went into the water. They got taken by the currents out and out and out, and then the dad went rushing into the water to try to save them. Then my dad, there with his football shorts on, he went ploughing in, wasn't a great swimmer, tried to save the two girls. Then, oh, it was just my mum, I just remember my mum running up and down this beach screaming, saying, save him, can you save him? And then the two girls came floating back in. The two guys were really trapped out there, and all I remember is speaking to my dad after, he said that he had given up his last breath and he just said, he was just getting ready to, and he shouted, "Jesus!" And then his toe hit some sand, and they think it was a sandbank, and then he just got his footing. And then after that, came back in with the German, the father that came out. But it was, it really, I mean, at the time I was so young that I didn't realise that he could have gone, but he just called upon the name. That name that saves, Jesus. And then he came in and he, well, lost everything that was on him. Literally, that's the strong current. But he just reached out and just those words have gone out, Jesus. Wonderful thing that we can do that this morning, can't we? Even now, we can call out to him, say, "Oh Lord, it's the incredible person of Jesus Christ that is behind that wonderful name." A few minutes to go, but I feel to finish, I feel just to say, maybe this morning something in your heart, possibly you want that name again. Maybe you're still in the place of where Moses was, in the back of beyond, in a dry place, in a desert, having to look after far from the Lord's sheep. In that place there, he was being prepared and instructed by God. And this morning, if you want the Lord to come again into the dry places, he can. He pours into the desert places. I want more. I want the name. Not just in this room, but in the colleges where Lily will go. Where you study, dear Lily. Bring your name, that, the name of the Lord Jesus, in that place. Wonderful. It's been planned. It's his purpose. For my little one, when she goes back in on Monday, if they get around her again, let that faith rise up again. Maybe you've never ever discovered the Lord Jesus and you don't know much about him. You know, that's fine. It's a good place to be. Just come and say, "Lord, I want more of you. Reveal to me that intimate side that God did to Moses. I am. I am the I am." Amazing. Should we do that? I'll pray, and if you feel on your heart that you want again the Lord to be revealed to us, he loves it. We are very slow often. I am very slow to often really catch up on what the Lord wants to do in lives and in this heart. Lord, we love you this morning. It has been a real, Lord, a time of being together, but Lord, we've waited for each other. And in some ways, Lord, you want your church just to sometimes just wait and gaze again upon yourself. Know that wonderful name, that name. Lord, the busyness of life can often come in, and busyness of even the things and activities we do in church, Lord. But Lord, we this morning look to you, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we are running this race together, Lord. You said to Moses that you would be with him, beside him, you direct him, Lord Jesus. And this morning, Lord, I come again this morning, I simply say, Lord, Lord, that name imprinted on my heart. Lord, to face those hurdles in my workplace. Lord, to keep a genuine faith that it will keep growing, Lord.